You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shoma.
27 minutes before 11. It's Human Rights Day. Unfortunately, some people have to work. And of course, our resident shrink, Dr. Shoma, is so committed to the show that he's not out surfing today. How's it, Dr. Shoma?
Oh, you're serious. I love you. Thank you very much.
I love you more.
So early this morning, sun up. I must send you the picture. It's so, so stunningly gorgeous. We were out first light. I have washed off all the bad stuff. I've rejuvenated myself. I'm full of joy, surrounded by friends. Great waves. Sad that you weren't with me.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that it was a beautiful morning to start with, but I thought that it was raining cats and dogs down in Cape Town.
No, it is absolutely gorgeous, stunning day. Warm, hot, no wind. It is magnificent. No, you should get here soon.
Yeah, no, I should before winter sets in, when you guys have your weeks of raining on end. Yeah.
Yeah, we are so waiting for the rain. It's going to be another month before we see rain of substance, yeah. And what are we now at 16% of the dam's level, 16% left of drinkable water? So, wow.
Good stuff. That's a lot to celebrate. Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had that very busy show where we were talking about the trauma of moving, like moving house. And right at the end of that conversation, we had a gentleman calling with a very South African question, which was to ask, should I also think of moving house if my space has been violated? For example, if a burglary happened. So that sets us up nicely for today's show.
Yes, indeed. Human Rights Day. We all want to feel safe. We want to feel that our home is a cocoon. It's a place that is distinctly ours, and we will not be accosted. We will have a place where there's peace, and there's peace of being, physical peace, peace of mind. When this happens, a burglary, all of a sudden the bubble bursts. There is a lot, physical, mental, emotional kind of consequences. The sense of being violated is amazing. There will be emotions rising, anger, distrust, fear, all of this, panic, shock, uncontrollable crying sometimes. Mm. Imagine, I mean, this is your place. You come home and somebody has trashed it.
Mm.
They've taken whatever they wanted. They've ripped it out. They didn't even bother to deplug the flat-screen TV. You just ripped it out and ran with it.
Mm.
There's a feeling of contamination in your special place. There, if you don't deal with it well, if you don't get what we will recommend in a few minutes' time, there will be a festering feeling of distrust. There is this unbelievable feeling of vulnerability. And, of course, South Africa, the crime that we face is quite immense. The fear of the second invasion, the burglars coming back. Mm. If the burglars don't get caught, it's even worse.
Mm.
So if there is at least some measure of remedy that these people get apprehended and that some of the bad people get taken away from our lives, it doesn't always happen. So physically, of course, people, you must expect, and it's nothing that you unusual. It cascades into your body, into your mind, all of these bad things. There's nowhere safe, and you will have disturbed sleep, normal. Some people get headaches, nausea. There's definitely going to be a hypervigilant kind of energy in the body. So you're quite jumpy, which can lead, of course, in the long term, if you don't deal with it, to exhaustion. Mm. Mentally, eusebius. That is what our caller hinted at. Must I move? Some people, when they become invaded, they feel they've got to burn some possessions to cleanse the house. Some do rituals. Some move, some sell, some give it up. Mentally, the replaying of the events in the head disturb us like nothing else. There's involuntary flashbacks in the most inappropriate moments. So concentration goes for a loop. Emotionally, I don't even have to tell you. You know it, I know it, our listeners know it. Amazing fear of withdrawal. Amazing helplessness, depression, and there's a sense of resentment against the authorities because now I'm vulnerable and nobody's here to help me. So it is very, very important. The problem here is how to move on from there. And we're going to talk about RTT, report, tell, talk. Listeners, tell us what happened to you. Mm. Tell us, please, what worked. tell us what got you over it, and I'll give you the shrink's perspective in a few minutes.
011-883-0702. Give us a call right now. Have you had your personal space, your physical space, quite apart from your property, violated? What has that done to you? How do you feel about it? Are you thinking of moving, physically moving? And share your anxieties and any questions you have for our resident psychologist, Dr. Shoma. He'll do his best to help. 021-446-0567. Dr. Shoma, you've already, just in your opening remarks, given a ton of information. I want to unpack some of that or ask you to. It seems to me that if we go back to that caller, that the complexities that you are describing about the myriad ways in which being violated affects you can't easily be dealt with by simply changing neighborhoods.
No, the sense of vulnerability carries over. So yes, you could move to a secure complex. You can move behind big walls and security fences and alarm systems and cameras. Yet you will take, of course, your personal possessions with you. And if you miss particular personal possessions, which were touched and which were stolen, you will miss them for the rest of your life. You might replace them. Not a bad idea. Mm. But maybe we need to deal with what's going on inside of you instead of just the physical surround. It does help, you see, because we can't beat about the bush. It does help some people who can't give it up because of the rumination, meaning the repeated images, the flashbacks, the trauma, the sounds, the smells that go with it, are sitting in the walls, they're sitting in the carpet, they're sitting in the couch, they're sitting in this place when you put your key in the door and you see this invasion for the first time.
And even if you don't see it physically, perhaps you weren't home, I would imagine, and I'm very lucky, I hope I'm not a statistical minority as a South African to say this, I haven't had this kind of experience, but I would imagine, Dr. Shoma, even if you were not at home, perhaps you were, I don't know, at work and you come back, the sense of your space having been rummaged through, that can be just as disruptive mentally as being physically home when it happens.
Yeah, there's of course a degree of how you are exposed to this, and I wish everybody not to be home when it happens. You might be a fierce person, you might be wanting to defend yourself, you might have guns at home. It is psychologically more survivable if you are not confronted with the situation. You come home and it has happened. At least the likelihood of a physical attack injuring you, violating you, is gone. Yet, it is your cocoon that has been invaded. It's a space in which you've created memories. It's a place in which you've raised kids. It's a place in which you need to feel, ha, the stress and strain of life, here I can let go. And all of a sudden, Eusebius, you can't let go anymore because the hypervigilance, any sound, anything that reminds you of that could be another person smashing in a window. That could be a person trying to burgle a rock. This could be a person who is trying to get in unallowed. Some people just get so twitchy about it that at any moment they are on the attack. They are on the way to get involved. And for most of us, we survive better if we don't get involved.
Mm.
But we'll talk about that when we look at the things that you could possibly do about it. Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that it hasn't happened to you. Very good.
But it has to some of our callers. Let's actually take a call right now, Dr. Shoma, in Midrand. We've got, is it Madeleine? Madeleine?
Hi, CBS. Yes, it is. It's Madeleine. Hi, Dr. Shoma.
Hi, Madeleine. Thanks so much for calling us. Go ahead, Madeleine.
My incident is somewhat different. I'm very pleased it wasn't a home invasion, but it was equally emotionally and physically threatening. I was caught in a bank robbery many, many, many years ago, and the memory still live with me today. Yes. It was what they called a bank robbery because none of us got shot.
Yeah.
But I was human shield that they used to get out of the bank. So I had the gun to my head and I had the gun to my back. And it was one of the most traumatic experiences I have ever lived through in my entire life.
Yeah. Madeline, may I ask, how many years ago?
1998, and I can still describe the guy's face to you who had the gun to my head.
Madeleine, you will never forget the face. You will never forget the scent, the smell. You will never forget what it feels to have a gun in your back or against your temple. This is something we need to tell people from the beginning. Don't think it's all going to be washed away. It will be there. We got to deal with it, face it. It's like a demon. You got to cage it and not unlock the cage. But it's going to be with you. We got to manage it, Madeleine. What kind of help did you get?
I went for debriefing, and the reason I went for debriefing was my son was very young at the time. Yeah. I was a single parent, and I became so hypervigilant that came 6 o'clock at night, we were all had to be locked in the house with the alarm on, the beams on in the garden. I suddenly realized how incredibly unhealthy it was. Hello. And I went to a victim and support group in Bramfontein who were absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. I
spoke to my GP, and I went on to psychonormalizers, for want of another word.
Yeah.
To just deaden this hypervigilance. And I must have been on the pills for a good 4 years.
Isn't that fantastic, Madeleine? It will be with you, but you've managed it. And that's the whole idea. We've got to manage it.
Hmm.
And like you said, it actually restricted your life. It made your life less. 6 o'clock, we go into castle mode. Moat up, barriers down, guns out, we are ready.
And the frightening thing was that it didn't affect anyone else who was with me to the extent that it affected me. And for a long time, people kept saying to me, you must stop talking about it. And I kept saying, no, you don't understand. My brain, like everybody else's brain, is not geared up to process this kind of stuff. And the only way we can process it is if we talk about it.
Yes, it's got to get out. Madeleine, it's got to get out.
And disempower it.
Yeah, you are so right. Some people are good at keeping it within themselves, about themselves. They have the conversation with themselves and maybe even God. Some of us need another person. The majority need to talk about it. The more you keep it inside, the more it festers, because you're going to build images upon images upon images. And it can escalate inside to an absolute horror scene where, if you talk about it, you can start putting it in perspective. But, Madeleine,
yes.
I survived hijacks. I survived some bad scenes. Until today, I mean, my bad hijack 10 years ago, I can still smell the guy. And I can still remember what the gun sounded like when he cocked the gun. So it's never going to hear me, but I've actually mapped it, sanded it, and clayed it, and role-played it. I can deal with it now, because now I know what it means. You've done well, Madeleine.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Madeleine.
To anyone who has gone through something, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And it isn't a train.
Wonderful. Madeleine, that is a fantastic message. You've got to deal with it. And Madeleine dealt with it, Eusebius. Don't go and think you can do this alone. Mm. Full stop.
Absolutely. And I like how the fact, Dr. Sharma, that Madeleine owns the fact that the functionality and therefore her well-being comes first. If that means, even if that's necessary, getting certain kinds of medical help, not just psychosocial support, so be it. You need to live.
Oh, definitely. There's a big, good area in which we need pharmaceuticals to make it able to get to the mental side, to get it to enable us to role play, to even face it. So I don't think any trauma counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, priest, imam, whoever's out there dealing with this, being told that, would ever say, no, we're not going to use it. We're going to use everything we can to make you come to the best of you.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break. 011-883-0702. Have you had this kind of traumatic experience? How have you reacted to it? Are you still unable to deal? Perhaps Dr. Sharma can give some advice. Don't be shy. Call in 021-446-0567 in Cape Town. We'll take a couple more of your calls on the other side of this.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Sharma.
011-883-0702. We're talking about how one might react if you have been sadly invaded in your space at home, a robbery perhaps that might have happened, or our first caller who called in was caught up in a bank robbery in that situation, it can be extremely traumatic. And share with us your stories, your anxieties, and our resident psychologist, Dr. Shoma, will give some advice in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. And, of course, the Johannesburg number, 011-883-0702. Dr. Shoma, we hinted earlier that we will go through a little bit more systematically on some practical ways of potentially moving on.
Yes, very good. Let's do that. The idea is to move on from the incident. You could potentially get frozen in it. You could now stop living. Madeleine hinted at it, and she carried on, yet at 6 o'clock her life came to an end in the evening by building a castle and locking themselves up, which is a natural response. What we need to, first of all, tell people, report it, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, talk to professional help. Don't try to do this on your own. It's not possible. I deal a lot with post-traumatic stress, from people in the townships to people in war zones, to people being invaded, to people being hijacked, to people being done worse things to. The most important part is human beings are social creatures. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, we need to share. We need to talk about it, and we need to admit one thing. We can't do this on our own. So number one idea is get support. Get support, whoever seems to be good for you at the time, whoever has the right words, whoever has the right attitude, whoever lifts you and gives you a moment hope, a moment vision of a future, a moment open the horizon again, you get that support. Then number two, once you've got that support, Eusebius, do not hold back on your feelings. So let yourself feel. Let yourself feel. And if you need to cry, and just sit and cry and tell somebody, hold my hand or hold me or just be in the room. That's okay. Let yourself feel. Don't think. And it's particularly some of the beautiful, fantastic, tenacious and strong males around us that don't let themselves feel. And then it could happen that feelings of anger and feelings of frustration bubble in the middle of a traffic jam. Not good.
Absolutely.
So let yourself feel. Then very importantly, like Madeleine hinted at it very nicely, is do not give in to the fear. You let the fear rule you. Fear destroys your soul. It eats up your soul. If we keep on living in fear, we're not grabbing life, sunshine, beach, relationships, neighborhood, community, building a new nation. We've got to refuse to give in to the fear. And then you build things around you that give you more of a sense of security. As soon as possible, Eusebius, the fourth point in this is that I need you to keep your routine. Do not all of a sudden upside your life because some bad, crazy, evil human being invaded your space. They are not worth you changing everything that you don't recognize your own life anymore.
Absolutely.
I've got people stunning, they were hijacked, and now they're driving around in full Kevlar. They're driving with a bulletproof vest. If you don't work in the townships in the night and have to face the gangs, you might not need that. And then most importantly, Eusebius, so important for our listeners, do not be shy to take care of yourself. That means if you need a break, if you need a week up in a game park, no human beings, only animals, granted to yourself. If you need to have a daily massage to get that knot out of your neck and out of your shoulders, give yourself that. And if you need professional help, don't hold back. There are good people around you that can lift you, support you, move you on.
We've got an SMS here from Connie. It says the following.
Yes.
I was hijacked 7 years ago, and to date, if I drive in an area that looks like the area where I was hijacked, I get panic attacks and feel like I'm dying or losing my mind.
Yes. My question to Connie is, we sadly don't have her on the line. My question is, did you deal with it then and there when the hijack happened? Did you get debriefed? Did you get some counseling? Did you parcel it in a way and package it that you can actually move on? Excuse me, that was my phone, which should be off. It is very important when these hijacks happen is that you are coming to a point where you again feel quasi-confident you could go into that area and not get the panic attack. So I would love to, if it's possible, for Connie, whoever sent this. Mm. Hello, Connie. Give us an idea whether you have learned to breathe. Have you learned autogenic training? Have you joined Jacobs and the relaxation while in the car so the panic attack is contained? And my question immediately is, do you have to drive through those areas all the time? Because if you have to, it's like a businessman being accosted, hijacked on the way to the airport. Mm. If it's a businessman, they're going to have to go to the airport again, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you.
We have to actually deal with it.
Yeah, we've only got a minute left because I wanted to ask you about that. When one goes into therapy as a result of these kinds of trauma, if you feel like you need it, are you able to help people to deal with those potential triggers? Because it sounds to me, I mean, we don't know because we don't have Connie on the line, as if Connie almost wishes to avoid triggers that may take her back to the hijacking. But unfortunately, there's so much routine in life. It's just the way life is structured that triggers will happen.
Eusebius, you're so right. A massive amount of information flooding our brain, which is common to situation to situation. What we would do with Connie is something called systematic desensitization. We would get her that the trigger is recognized, but the trigger doesn't have a 10 response on the scale of panic, but a 1 response. So we simmer the person down. The triggers, they are recognized, but I don't have to go into an area of my life where I feel helpless, incompetent, and I will have the same attack again.
Absolutely. Dr. Sharma, thank you for your insight and the great work. We'll do it again next week.
Till then, be safe, people. Bye-bye.
Cheers.